My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Shryan and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. Four names spring to mind in no particular order of preference. Let me introduce John Amis and Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. If I have a preference around here, it's for our scorer, known affectionately as Tinker, but actually named Mary Bell. Our meeting place is here on the stage of the Westminster Theatre in London before a distinguished audience. That always goes down rather well. John, first question. Beethoven's Kreutzer Sonata. Just a few bars, and then please tell us who was Mr. Kreutzer. Kreutzer Sonata.
I can tell you who Frank Sinatra is.
He was the sponsor.
Yes, that's right. The dedicatee, as you might say, of the sonata by
Beethoven.
Yes, that. He's believed actually never to have played it. Misha Elman used to tell the story about how he played at a village concert when he was five, and during one of the rests in the violin part, a motherly old lady sitting near him said, "Play something you know, dear." Mr. Reed of Hayes, I have to thank for that one.
You know, Misha Elman had quite a good opinion of himself, and one day a rather gushing lady came up to him and said, "Mr. Elman, what does it feel like to be so famous?" And he said, "Madam, I sometimes think I'm dreaming."
Yes. Frank, some G and S. Our mutual friend John Julius Norwich once distinguished himself in an odd way in a performance of Iolanthe. Can you explain?
Well, it's all, the chorus is composed of dukes and fairies.
Ah, you're working your way there.
And he was under the impression that he was going to be a fairy, so rehearsed all his movements in a fluttery manner, and ended up as a duke, a peculiar duke.
I will give you the mark.
I don't know the answer.
I know you don't. You worked your way. It was a school performance. All the peers were played by commoners, and he, the only peer in the cast, played the only commoner in the show. It's really rather nice. Ian, your turn. A very popular symphony conducted by a former organist, here's a good clue, at St. James's Church in Piccadilly. Which symphony and whom the conductor?
Yes, it was a very good clue as far as the conductor was concerned, because I imagine that must be the organist, I think, called himself at the time a Mr. Stokes.
Probably so. His real name, of course, being
Leopold Stokowski.
Leopold Stokowski, that's right.
But I think when he was an organist, he called himself Mr. Stokes.
Yes, that's right. Did you recognise the symphony? While you're thinking, I harped on the Stokes-Stokowski thing because some people think it's the other way around, that Mr. Stokes, who called himself Stokowski. It's not that. It's Mr. Stokowski,
yes,
who called himself Stokes.
Yes. Right. I'm glad you gave me a bit of time to think of that, because it hasn't helped me at all. I know the melody.
The tune. Yes.
Yes, another tune. Sibelius, the second symphony. Sibelius said, Ian, of Stokowski, "He is a very fine man, interested in many things, but not, I think, in music." Dennis, your turn. In my younger days, I was a sometime member of Victor Sylvester's ballroom orchestra, playing what pianists call the lemonade, in other words, the tinkle on the top. Dennis, can you name one or two of the long-term members of Victor Sylvester's ballroom orchestra? Just a couple of names will do me.
Yeah. Well, they were always first-class musicians.
Absolutely.
It's customary to deride them. He's very good at picking music, and they were always with him a long time. The only time I can remember, Oscar Grasso was a member of the sort of Sylvester organization.
You heard him there in that bit, yeah.
Yeah, right. And the only one that I know offhand was the chap who again played for so many was Poggy Pogson.
Yes, Poggy Pogson. Eddie McCauley and Cecil Norman on two pianos most of the time. Slim Wilson too. Ben Edwards, the inscrutable drummer, sitting up at the back there. Art Gregory on accordion too for a while, playing chuck rhythms, yeah. When you want to find a particular bit of a record you're playing, it's very tempting, though it's not recommended, to search for it by dropping the pickup arm here and there. It's the record going round, and you go bonk, 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 until you find the little bit of particular track you want. It's a very bad idea. Anyway, you get sometimes an effect like this. Now, did any youngster in the audience know who that was?
John.
Yes, it was Elton John. Four minute bits of Elton John. So from even tiny snatches like that, voices can be recognised. So, John, who's this? Right.
Is it a Placid Sunday?
Yes, it's a Placid Sunday. Placido Domingo it is. Frank, can you tell who this is?
It's good.
That's because he's so popular, see, when he appears anywhere.
He's a rubber singer, because he deflated at the end.
He's a chanteur.
He whom Private Eye calls Charles Aznavour.
Yes, Charles Aznavour. Aznavour it was, yes.
Who dances with himself.
Right, listen very carefully. Ian, listen very carefully, and you try to identify this singer.
I think that is Amos J.
Yes, it was Amos J, that's right.
In very good form.
Yes,
the only time my record ever gets played by the BBC is a
boop. It's an LP, incidentally, the best of John Amos.
He was playing Ishmael in the opera Moby Dick, and that was
The point about that is it's something which is normally said about singers, and a great thing is to have a voice that when people hear it on the radio or on a record, say instantly, that is so-and-so. Well, the fact that you can tell that is you on such a little bit.
When people tremendous. Hear me sing, that's the one, that is so-and-so. That really so-and-so.
Dennis, I don't think you're going to have any difficulty with this.
Listen, it's no sh... if I...
work hard was the last one, yes.
Work hard.
Can we have his name, please? Little. One name.
Topol.
Topol. Topol it was, yes. I've cobbled together two sets of four tunes, making up one of my piano medleys. Thank you. One piano medley. The first tune.
What the hell is that? Is that Eine Kleine Nachtmusik?
Yes, the throw movement from Eine Kleine Nachtmusik. That's right. You've got the half a mark. John.
Oh, look at me.
You're right.
Why not?
Then came...
Speak to me. I've got to speak to me. I'm
not... Well, it's something. It's a speaking instrument, isn't it? And John, Ian, it goes on.
For us.
Somewhere a voice is calling.
Calling no marks.
I don't think you've got it. It's calling no marks. That's right. Then.
Animal crackers in my soup.
Thank you, yes. And that merged into Ian.
Dambusters.
Yes, the Dambusters March. And then.
Colonel Bogey.
Colonel Bogey, yes, or any other title you know for it.
Yeah, that was the tricky bit of I'll Go My Way by Myself. By Myself.
No, it was not.
Oh, but not for me.
You dropped your half mark as well. Yeah, yeah. And the last one.
Any Umbrellas, Two Men Today.
But or not a title for me. Would be...
Turaloo-ra-loo-ra.
No, what's it called?
The Umbrella Man.
Yes, thank you. Yes, the Umbrella Man.
You just got our spokes in front there.
You did the whole lyric then.
Yes. That's the time. Yeah. Let's have some smashing singing.
Right.
None shall sleep, our right. Pavarotti singing at the Royal Albert Hall in front of an ecstatic audience. John, whose music is this, and from which opera, please?
La mia letizia infondere vorrei nel suo bel cuore vorrei destare copalpiti del mio beato amore.
Pavarotti again. Opera?
I don't know. I think it's Verdi.
Yes, it's Verdi. The first letter is I.
I due Foscari.
No, it's I Lombardi. You have a half mark.
Oh. No.
Frank, your question. Who is this Thane? Oh, my poor children, slaughtered by that tyrant, and your poor mother too. Does the story sound familiar, Frank?
All my chickens and my dam at one fell swoop, said Macduff.
Yes, I said
to his family had been grossly
Thane.
Done in.
Quite right. Macduff in Verdi's.
By the eponymous hero.
Verdi's Macbeth. Ian. Soon I shall find asylum in a neglected grave. No tear falls upon it. Who's feeling sorry for himself? Listen.
This is a marvellous opera.
Yeah.
Called Lucia di Lammermoor.
That's right.
By Donizetti, and the character who is, and has every reason to feel sorry for himself at this moment, is Edgar.
Now, Frank, that is the way to answer a question. There it is. Complete and final and utter. Utter, that's all I can say. Utter. That's what it was.
What did I do? What did I do?
Try harder.
I got to try harder.
Dennis.
I'll show you another way to answer a question.
I don't know.
Oh, yes. That's another way, yes. Dennis, at this Pavarotti-Albert Hall concert, the audience applauded a familiar orchestral introduction just as if it were a pop concert. By then, in fact, it was a pop concert. Sorrento, lovely song. Dennis, when was that song first published, and how much at a guess was the song copy then?
It first came to my attention, let us say, around about the 30s, I would think.
Good time before then.
You know, the song copy was penny and you had enough change to go for a dinner in the West End and come back in a hansom cab.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Sometime before. It was 1904.
Was it really?
It was first published in an album of songs. And the price in Italy, please. An Italian...
Italian?
Yes.
Oh, I don't even know... I don't even know what the rate of exchange was. Oh, it was something like 48,000 lira or something, you know. the Italian lira currency is very strange.
It was two.
Two lira. Yeah.
Two lira. Let's just track down where you've heard certain words before. John, the word absobloominlutely, where can you find that?
P.G. Woodhouse.
No, I would go so far as to say Yates. No. No, no, no. Absobloominlutely.
Richmond Crumpton.
In a song. No, the song.
Spring breaks over me windowsill.
Absobloominlutely.
All I want is...
Yes, Frank's got it, yeah.
It's My Fair Lady.
Absobloominlutely.
It's the first song.
Yes, it's from Wouldn't It Be Lovely? Absobloominlutely still.
Sung it on this programme. Yeah. You weren't listening.
He's got yours. Your side's got it.
You were honing your whistle.
Frank, another word for you, a single word, Keala Kakua. Where's that? That's from a song as well.
Yes, that's in a cookery recipe. It's okay. And little girl's hot in go Hawaii.
That's the one. I want to go back to my little grass shack in Kealakekua in Hawaii. Yes.
With that awful thing they did.
That's right. Ian, this is difficult, but try it all the same. Can you place the word in a song? Prosy.
Prosy?
P-R-O-S-Y. I'll give you a bit more help if you like. It's going to be a long night.
Desert Song.
Desert Song.
Romance? Yes, Romance from the Desert Song. Would you like him to have that mark?
Yeah, give it. To give him a mark.
Yes, it's Romance, called Romance from the Desert Song.
I think I only deserve half a mark, actually.
All right,
half a mark.
Scottish Takeaway, that's called.
Dennis, in your case, four words.
Four words.
And a most curious association for a songwriter to... an assertion for a songwriter to make. You have no lips.
You tried to throw me by putting the wrong... It's you have no lips,
yes,
isn't it?
On the strong set of
they say, you have no lips for a fool such as I.
Actually,
I heard one of those the other day, and it struck me... Once heard it umpteen times. Do you know the song where they use the word consolation?
Yes, I do.
Consolation.
There's nothing left.
But also, in high society, in high society, Bing Crosby sings in very slow fashion, True Love. And there's a line that goes, it was always fascinating to me, your guardian angel on high with nothing to do.
Yeah.
But to give.
One, two, three, one, two, three. Go through the mind.
Guardian angel.
Somebody in the audience, call out where I can find a reference in a song to Huckleberry. Pins. The song, Huckleberry. Moon River. Thank you, my Huckleberry friend on Moon River. Yes, that's right. And so to the final minutes of this week's programme. I've never been one to push myself.
Are you waiting for endorsement or an argument? Yes.
May we push you?
No, indeed. Yes. People do write sometimes to ask for a little genial piano playing from time to time. And since Frank's song is a particularly good tune that I rather like, I thought I'd preface his chorus with a brief chorus of my own. John's turn now.
Can I have a prelude and fugue before mine?
All you're going to get is an arpeggio, John, into the watercress.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
Oh, up yonder waste-inch mountain, a fair young mistress be. I asked her for to marry me and come to mistress me. But she left me with a bunch of watercresses, and she didn't even wave her hand goodbye. So I went back to my dairy and decided that I'd marry, 'cause I couldn't wait until the by and by. 'Cause I couldn't wait until the by and by. Oh, I wooed her in the summertime, I wooed her in the spring, I wooed her like the cardinal when he does a wooing sing. But she left me with a bunch of watercresses, and she said, I love several other men besides you. So I went back to my dairy and decided not to marry until my bunch of watercresses die. Until my bunch of watercresses die.
Dennis's song is a different kind of folk material. Billy Williams made it famous, and Dennis Norden revives it.
Put a bit of powder on it, Father, a little bit of powder do. Put a bit of powder on it, Father, let me beg of you. Now that the cold can get to it, it's gold, red, white and blue. So dab it on nice in the same place twice, a little bit of powder do.
innuendo is completely wrong.
Such a face as drifts through dreams. Lovely line. A lovely song for me.
Sylvia's hair is like the night, touched with glancing starry beams. Such a face as drifts through dreams. This is Sylvia to the sight, and the touch of Sylvia's hand is as light as milkweed down. When the meads are golden brown and the autumn fills the land, a face as drifts through dreams. This is Sylvia to the sight.
You join the poppy tune again.
A song by Ole Speaks, and your chairman speaks to report a victory this week for nobody. It's a tie. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Pete Atkin.